welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike, joined by my co-hosts, Napier, Drunkard STL, and via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse. We have an action-packed show for you this evening. But first, me and Travis sat down with film director James Cullen Bresic to promote his new movie, Pernicious, which is traveling around the country in a film festival near you. James, thank you for being here, buddy.
Definitely. I'm more than happy to be on. If there's one thing I like doing, it's talking. So.
Perfect.
So, the movie's coming out on the 15th, right?
What is?
Your movie?
Pernicious? No. It's playing film festivals right now. It doesn't come out till next year.
Oh, IMDb.
You're traveling with it then, right?
Yeah, we're traveling with it.
IMDb lied to me, James.
IMDb is a liar.
Well, IMDb says that you have like 18 movies coming out next year. So
that was the first thing that I wanted to ask is when do you sleep?
I don't.
You just make movies every day.
But
you put out movies quicker than they put out episodes of CSI.
I know, and actually, believe it or not, this is going to shock you even more. I'm 22, so
yeah,
that did shock me when I first saw it.
Yeah, so
yeah, you're 22 and you've made like 8 movies, and I'm 32 and I have a podcast. So I mean, I have every reason to just hate you.
You know, a lot of people do hate me, but it's only because I'm beautiful.
Right? Well, you made your first feature when you were 18, right?
Yeah, I made my first feature when I was 18.
And that was my pure joy?
Like, straight out of high school. I had written this movie, and I was in film school for literally a week. And I was like, you know, I am going to see if I could make a movie. Like, you know, Robert Rodriguez made his first movie, El Mariachi, for $7,000, so I'm going to make mine for $7,000. So My Pure Joy was a $7,000 movie. And I made it. Basically had to, if you look at the credits, I had to do absolutely everything on it. I was like I'm credited for like a bazillion different things, like sound and...
Well, that's probably the way to go, though, right? Like, when you're dipping your head in the ring of making movies, the more you know about every aspect, especially this day and age with independent cinema, it's probably the best for your, you know, your overall knowledge of doing it.
100%. I mean, it was like my film school, all in one. You know, I mean, like, I learned by, like, having to do it and be the only one who could do it. You know, because I couldn't pay anybody, and nobody wanted to help some random kid making a movie about a serial killer, because they're like, yeah, what real movie can you make for $7,000? You know what I mean? So nobody wanted to help me out. It was really easy to get actors, though, because actors just wanted stuff for the reels.
Did you already have a circle of friends that was interested in making movies?
No.
No?
No. I was like super loner status. Like, nobody wanted to be the crazy little film kid's friend.
So you
had
you
to make movie.
Well, that's a good way to make friends.
Yeah, I made friends making the films. You know, I definitely did that.
Well, and right out of the gate, too, that got a bunch of praise, right? The first film that you had, I mean, created a bunch of buzz. This 18-year-old kid releasing this movie and people are noticing.
Yeah, I mean, as you can maybe tell from my Twitter, I came from a social media background. So when I was, you know, before I got into making movies, like as a teenager, I used to do like PR and social media because I understood it for like different like electronic music bands.
Sure.
And so like I learned a lot about that. So I put out a lot of press on my first movie, My Pure Joy, and it actually got like onto the bestsellers list on Amazon. It was ranked number 32.
Wow.
And so like it was... You know, it got a lot of press and was a bestseller. I took all these pictures of it being ranked number 32 because I thought it was, like, kind of epic.
Well, I guess the press likes when young people do things.
Yeah, and now for the rest of my life I have to battle people saying, well, he was young once and actually made it. Because, you know, I don't want it to just be like, remember when he was young and he did movies and it was impressive because he was a young man. Well, now it's getting to a point, like, I'm 22, so they're like, well, now he's an old man, which is, you know,
yeah,
apparently 22 is old. Yeah, I'm ancient. I'm, like, but very wise.
God, you're going to be getting lifetime achievement awards in horror any time now, right?
Yeah, well, of course, because 22 is an entire lifetime. But you know, this year I had the pleasure of working with both Wes Craven and Eli Roth, which was really awesome.
That's amazing.
Well, I mean, so, you might as well pack up now, right? Who's left?
Well, John Carpenter.
Yeah, that's a good one, I guess.
Robert Rodriguez. I mean, like, for me, like, you know, Eli Roth is kind of just the biggest thing ever for me. You know, working with Wes Craven was amazing. You know, it blew my mind. I learned so much. And, you know, he was like the dude in Pet Sematary who, like, he'd walk on the set and he'd be like, the soil's spoiled. You have to not bury the film canister in the Pet Sematary. He'd, like, come in and say something, like, really wise and then, like, walk away and I wouldn't see him for the rest of the day.
Was he always wearing a different T-shirt? I know I follow him on Twitter and I see he's always got a nice collection of T-shirts and he's always showing them off.
Yeah. I actually didn't pay attention to his T-shirt. I was just kind of like in awe of like Wes Craven is in the same room as me and he called me James. Like he actually remembers me from the day before. This is fantastic. So that was, you know, mind blowing. And, you know, it was a small little project, like a sizzle reel thing that I don't know if it'll ever come out, but it was really cool to work with him. And then I did this, this like Vine, 13 Days of Hollow Vine for Eli Roth. And
I saw that. I hadn't even seen Eli Roth put that out, and I just saw a couple of those today, and that it's a great idea. There's some really great ones out there. Did yours release yet? I wasn't able to find it.
Yeah, mine was the first one. So I got all the press because it was the first one. I strategically planned that. but Eli was the producer on it, and it was awesome. You know, he was very supportive online, and literally watching Eli Roth follow me on Twitter and like tweet that I did something scary, I was like, that is amazing, because I have a elite hunting tattoo from Hostel on my chest, so it's I was like, that's a dream come true.
Did you show it to him?
I tweeted him a picture of it. Eli's always been like a huge idol of mine and stuff, and I'm actually working with him in the Crypt on a different project as well. So
that's a dream come true. That's an idol of yours, and then after just a few years and a handful of movies, you get to work with him.
Yeah. It definitely is. I've yet to meet him in person. He's been off filming and doing things. However, he's been very communicative through email and Twitter and stuff, which is really rad.
You followed up, like, I say, how do you sleep? I know you have a lot of short films, but just last year you put out 3 features. How does that happen?
lots of Red Bull, and I'm quoted as Red Bull is the breakfast of champions.
Oh, perfect.
So hopefully Red Bull gives me a sponsorship so I can stop spending my entire paycheck on all the cases of Red Bull.
You start wearing some racing suits that just say Red Bull while you're directing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Product placement.
But last year, Hate Crime 2, Jennifer, and 13-13-13 all came out. And Hate Crime I had actually done a year before, but it played the film festival circuit for an entire year. And we played like 27 film festivals around the world, like in Spain and all that stuff. So it was kind of rad. I was very proud of that movie.
Well, I saw actually you talking about that movie and another outlet saying that your inspiration from it was actually, the core inspiration was something that you actually experienced personally.
Yeah, it was. I was on my way to a film festival in Oklahoma that was playing my film, My Pure Joy, and I was on a fake ID, and I stopped at this bar, and me and my business partner were surrounded and accosted by, like, neo-Nazis, and they were like, you're a Jew, ain't you, boy? I ain't never seen a Jew before. Where are your horns at, Jew boy? And stuff like that in a bar in Amarillo, Texas. And
they have Jews there. He was lying. He's seen Jews before.
I don't know, Mike, have you ever been to Amarillo, Texas?
I want to say yes.
Amarillo, Texas reminds me of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, that's where they filmed it.
Amarillo is a scary place.
Yeah, it's like long stretch of land, tiny little shack. Long stretch of land. really tiny little shack.
Well, and even when you go into town, I remember I took like a solo road trip there in like 2009, and I checked into like a Baymont Resorts or something, and he's like, "Oh, are you all by yourself?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, you're going to want to park in the light and make sure you don't answer the door for anybody if they knock on it." I'm like, "What? Where am I?" And I walk into the bedroom, and it's all stained, like just dark stains on the floor, and there's a sign on the inside of the door that says, "Do not open the door for anybody unless you know who they are."
That's awesome.
I've never seen that shit before.
Well, then you could definitely confirm my experience.
Yeah.
There's a part of the world, like a part of America, that we definitely pretend that we don't see.
Right, right.
And this was that part of the world. So I was like, you know, I started doing research and I found out that like all these, you know, horrible, violent hate crimes have been happening in the U.S. and they happen like more and more, especially now because like the economy's dipping. And so I was like, well, I have to, you know, make a movie about that. And I've always, you know, feared home invasions. And so I, you know, put it out, and the proof is in the pudding because some people deny that it still goes on, but put the comments on the YouTube page. Or look at, like, these websites like Crush Zion and, like, Stormfront that are actually, like, writing death threats about me on there for making a movie about neo-Nazis and being Jewish.
Well, all you have to do, really, is look at social media for that. You can see, you can see it every day in everybody's posts, anonymous posts, a lot of racism. And
he specified the YouTube videos on his page and all YouTube videos on anything.
Right.
Right. All YouTube videos on anything as well, to be honest.
Right.
It's like all YouTube videos, all of the IMDb message boards. Like, there's a great review on IMDb of my movie Blood Lake from like a credible IMDb message boarder saying that, like, you know, they had a conversation with Shannon Doherty and, like, Shannon hates the film, and the one thing she hated the most about the film was how arrogant and horrible this young director was because he thought he was the greatest person who ever lived. And Shannon and I read that and were laughing because we've worked together 3 times now and are very close friends. And so it's very funny that people not only say stuff like that, but they also claim to literally know the person, which is even funnier.
Everybody wants an exclusive.
Yeah, everybody wants an exclusive because, you know, Shannon Doherty goes around giving exclusives to random IMDb messengers. They're just like, hey, random person on the IMDb message board who's trolling and writing horrible things.
Let me tell you a story.
Let me just tell you a story.
You know what, man? I like you. I'm going to dish you the dirt.
Could you straight away take to IMDb and post this?
You're good, you. Go on IMDb and write a horrible thing about this man.
So I saw Blood Lake. That's the one that released. It was just on Netflix. I saw it on Netflix. Is that true that released on Animal Planet first?
Yeah. It was on Animal Planet over the 4 showings we had. We got 7 million viewers, and it's been playing on Animal Planet across the world, actually. It just played in Germany on Animal Planet, and it played in the UK on Animal Planet. But it was on Animal Planet in the U.S. for Monster Week, and we're actually it's getting re-released very soon on Animal Planet.
Why does Animal Planet have a Monster Week? It's animals. That's so
they wanted a horror movie.
Animal Planet.
Yeah, that's
plays
it. That's
videos
exactly it.
Of tigers eating antelopes
and the puppy bowl.
That's crazy.
No, they wanted their own Shark Week, I think. I didn't know that they had a Monster Week. That's why I saw Blood Lake, and then I had seen that it was released originally on Animal Planet, and I'm like, no, between the kittens and the meerkats.
Yeah, it was. Animal Planet was a huge supporter of the film too.
That's excellent.
You know, they got a lot of press on it, and they were great to work with. A lot of respect for Animal Planet.
So, is there going to be a Blood Lake 2?
Who knows? Hopefully, I get a call, and then we get a kill a whole bunch of other people. But I know that we're re-releasing an unrated director's cut on Animal Planet very soon with a bunch more kill scenes that the first time I did were too like violent to be shown.
Is it like after hours when they can show stuff?
I think so, but they're doing something like super violent that I had some really crazy kill scenes where like it's really like some brutal stuff. So
So originally they were like, we can't put that on TV, and then 7 million viewers later they're like, hey, let's cut that back into the movie.
They're like, whoa, 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 James, James, this is Animal Planet.
Maybe. <That's great. laughs> Maybe. Maybe. Who knows? I don't know the thought process. I just know that it's gonna be this violent thing.
So you're touring Pernicious right now.
Yeah, I'm going to, for Thanksgiving, I will be in Australia doing a showing of Pernicious for Monster Fest. Everything has the word monster in it this year.
That's excellent. I like monsters.
It's just a monster year for me. I even got texted by somebody telling me that I'm a monster. So, like, literally, like, I think, like, my year is just filled with monsters.
2014, the year of the monster.
So, Pernicious, I'm saying it right, right? Pernicious.
Yeah, yeah, Pernicious. Pernicious. Definitely. A lot of people say Pernicus. Pernicus. It is Pernicious.
I watched the trailer, and to simplify it as best I can, it's a little gold girl who kills a bunch of people, right?
That is true.
And
gold girl.
I have a niece. She's a couple years old, and every time we go over there, it's really, really hard to get her to do anything. Like, you can't get her to eat her macaroni and cheese, and you can't get her to go to bed on time. You can't really get her to do anything. How'd you get that little girl to sit still while you painted her gold a whole bunch of times?
You know, that was the guys at Toe Tag that did it. Jeremy Cruz painted her gold and stuff, and we also enhanced a lot with VFX. But one thing that I've actually, I guess because I'm so young, one thing I've been able to really do very well is work with kids. Every one of my movies has kids in them. And the biggest obstacle definitely was in Thailand because the child did not speak English.
Did she have lines? Or does she just like run around and be all creepy and stuff?
She just runs around and be all creepy and stuff, but I had to give her direction. And there's actually video of me where basically I got the translator to tell her to just do what I do. And so, like, I would play games with her where, you know, like, I'd make a face and she'd make the same face back. And then we would just start, like, mimicking each other. And so, like, how I'd direct her is I would do the movement that I wanted her to do, and then she would do it once I called action.
So she was shadow boxing.
Yeah, basically.
I'm not agreeing that kids can be scary, but I don't know why. Like, twins in The Shining, why are they scary? If those two twins came after me, I'd probably deck both of them and be fine.
It's because they didn't eat the broccoli.
But it seems there's a lot of horror movies where the monster or the whatever is a little kid, and I feel like I could take a little kid.
Little kids are scary because of the idea of, you know, innocence and purity being destroyed. When you look at a kid, you immediately think that it's, you know, innocent and pure because it's so young, even though we all know some kids could just be motherfuckers.
Well, that's absolutely true. I have two young children, and that's the thing, too. I look at them most of the time and think, innocence, they haven't experienced life, they're not jaded by anything. But I saw, like, Children of the Corn when I was very young. And that shit scarred me even as a child, where I'm watching these children do these vicious, vicious things to all the adults and clearing the town out. And it's freaky. Children are scary, especially if you like have them or grew up with them. They're creepy. They're creepy little things.
Children are also vicious to other children. Like,
oh, absolutely.
I mean, like, you know, elementary school, they say some mean stuff to each other, man.
Did the kids, because I mean, I've seen 13, 13, 13. Like, there's some vicious, brutal acts committed by children. Do they get into that? Is that fun for them, or do they just, you know, they're just there doing a job?
They definitely get into it. I always feel a little bad every time because, like, it's like, you know, I always explain to the kid and the kid's parents that, like, you know, this is only, like, you know, for the movie. Like, don't say it outside of the movie. And, like, you know, it, like, you could tell that they, like, get very excited by the fact that they're allowed to say a curse word in a movie.
Oh, sure, or bash somebody's head against the concrete.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, ooh, yay! Like, yeah, they, you know, but My Pure Joy, the kid got, the first movie I did, the kid was covered in, like, 4 gallons of blood, and he started crying, and he was like, is this real life? Did I really die? And I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So he was, like, you know, like, 7 years old, and I was like, oh, my God, that's terrifying.
So you're gonna get an email from this kid in about what, probably 12 years.
I actually wrote a movie. I wrote a movie, a tour that stars Tom Sizemore, and it got changed into a woman that comes back and kills the director or whatever. The movie that I originally wrote, a tour that I sold, was basically based on a director who made this movie, and a little kid was in the movie and got covered in blood, and then years and years later, like, that messed the kid up, and he came and hunted down the filmmaker to kill him.
So does every film that you write based in some sort of reality from your life? Because there's another one right there.
Yeah, Write What You Know. I mean, 13-13-13 has a piece of me in it. I was born on leap year. So the whole movie about being, like, you know, leap year and yada yada, that's about why I'm crazy, I guess.
So you take a little nugget and then you just throw it at the screen, and then a lot of gore added to it too.
Yeah, a little bit. I take little pieces out of myself and put them in.
They fuck up your value meal and you drive home and you're like, you know, this would make a good movie.
Yeah, exactly.
What is that, Mike? Like a falling down scenario?
Yeah, guy has a really, really bad day, and then they fuck up his value meal, just sets him over the edge, goes crazy.
And he just kills all the fast food workers in his town?
Yeah, you don't know how many times I think, like, at a random point, this would make a good movie. Half of the time, the way I stop myself from actually turning it into a movie is I just tweet it. And then I'm like, well, somebody else can do it. So I just tweet, like, some random idea that I have.
Like put somebody's face in the fry grease. And I'm thinking this out now. This is good.
Yeah, you should write it.
There's so many things you could do in a fast food restaurant, right?
Yeah, you should do one in a fast food restaurant and have it be like, you know, maybe the guy gets his, like, value menu messed up, like you said, or maybe it's a guy who, like, is, like, vegan and is totally, like, against the treatment of, like, the animals.
There you go.
And then, like, is, like, you know, punishing all the people that work there.
That's a good one, too. I was thinking maybe it is also, too, you can't get breakfast past 10:30 or...
Yeah, what's up with that, dude? I want that. I want the breakfast past 10:30.
There's this sandwich that Jack in the Box has now that they keep advertising on TV. It's like a chicken sandwich, and it has like three kinds of cheese and bacon, and then they got a hash brown on the and it's on a croissant, and it looks so damn good. But they don't sell it till after 9 o'clock. You can't get it until after 9 o'clock p.m. Now who the hell eats dinner after 9 o'clock p.m., man?
It's ridiculous. It's for the drunchies. It's drunk munchies. Like when you leave the bar, it's like, oh yeah, that croissant thingy.
Where can we drive through the drive-in drunk?
Yeah, it's inspiring people to drive drunk. You see what you're doing, Jack in the Box?
Yeah. They're murdering people.
Hey, guys, we're mixing up the curly fries and the regular fries. We're crazy over here.
You might just get an onion ring in there.
Oh, my God. Don't you love when you sometimes get an onion ring in there?
I absolutely do love that random
onion
ring that pops up.
It's like Christmas morning.
Mm-hmm. I didn't want onion rings. That's why I didn't order them. But when I get that onion ring at the bottom of the container, it's wonderful.
Yeah. I just, honestly, like, I'm not a big fast food person, but I get really excited when they say the McRib is back.
Do you ever buy it, though?
No, I just get excited.
Well, I mean, there's a sense of immediacy. Excited. It's going away again.
I know.
You have to get one before it goes away. I mean, it's a limited time thing.
Did you
like
know there's...
pumpkin spice Oreos.
Oh, those are good. Those are good. Or Peeps. You can't get Peeps year-round.
Right. I feel like we're devolving here.
Or eggnog. Eggnog.
Or Shamrock Shakes.
Oh, my God. So one thing I was going to say, though, and then we'll stop talking about food. I think we're all hungry. I think that's what's going on. We'll stop talking about food, but there's this website called hackthemenu.com, and it's like every drive-thru place's secret menu.
Is that legitimate? Have you tried it?
Yeah, it actually exists, and it's super awesome. Like, I've gotten, like, stuff from, like, Taco Bell and stuff and Subway, and it's super rad. There's, like, stuff that – because, you know, In-N-Out has a secret menu, but, like, this is, like, all the other places. Like, I bet you didn't know that Taco Bell has guacamole.
I didn't know that.
I did not know that either, and I love guacamole.
They have really good guacamole.
Why are they hiding their guacamole from me, James?
I don't know, but they actually have a burrito that's called the Incredible Hulk, and it comes with guacamole in it.
Let's go get those right now.
I'm going to write that down.
End podcast. We're going to go get food. No, hackthemenu.com. You should check it out.
It's hackthemenu.com. Awesome. It's written down. It's always a great day when we can learn something, you know?
That's right.
I try to teach people things. One moment at a time. They might give them heart attacks, but I will teach it to them.
It's the information is theirs to use or not use at all.
But your mind will be blown about the secret menu at Jamba Juice. There's like 400 options.
That's too many options. I'd have a brain aneurysm.
It's ridiculous. Well, you'll have a brain aneurysm if you have too much Jamba Juice.
I feel like I don't have the confidence to like walk up and convincingly order something that isn't on the menu. You know, I fear rejection. I fear Jamba Juice guy will say, no, man, that's not on.
No.
Look at the menu. It's not there.
You actually won't. I was afraid at first, but like when you order it, they kind of look at you and they're like, yeah, you know. You must work at a Jamba Juice.
Oh, man, you get high fives and stuff too?
Yeah, it's super cool. They're like, when you order at Taco Bell, they're like, have you worked at Taco Bell before? That's
they
right.
Pull out the secret yeah. member button.
Yeah, they're like you're part of the club.
So where can people get your stuff? Where can
Taco Bell?
Just ask to James Cullen.
You get the 12, awesome. 12 taco sack and a free DVD.
I am on the secret menu at Taco Bell. No, I always say the easiest place to get my stuff is Amazon.com. But I have like two movies on Netflix too, if you want to watch them for free. But Amazon's the easiest place to get the DVDs and Blu-rays because it's just kind of like everything's there.
And what's next?
What's next? I have a couple movies that I'm waiting on dates for, and I'll find those out soon. And then I kind of will go into production one after another and then have a couple months where I sit and do nothing after that. It's kind of like how it works. I like do a whole bunch of movies all at once. Because they like there's like seasons of movies where so it's like we all got to get this movie done before this time. So it's like three different companies do a movie with me, and then like you know I'll have like half a year I'm making movies and half a year I'm relaxing
and going to film festivals and stuff.
And
like
going
that.
To film, yeah, exactly.
Relaxing so, or writing 100 different short films or so. You're on Facebook. Just look for your name. Obviously,
yeah, I'm on Facebook under James Cullen Bresak. I'm not allowed to add any more friends, though. I'm at my max. So,
I saw you maxed out.
Well, people can just be your friend. You don't need to be their friend.
Exactly. Or right. You can follow me on Twitter at James Cullen B, and I'm very active on Twitter.
You are very active on Twitter, and it seems like you interact a lot and your fans interact a lot. That was another question I had is, I mean, obviously social media is used for promotion, but I mean, do you feel like that's a rewarding connection, you know, like talking to fans on Twitter?
Oh, 100%. I mean, like I love my fans on Twitter. You know, like Twitter makes me feel less lonely at times, you know, cause like, I'll just, you know, when my friends don't text me back, I'll send out a tweet and I get a whole bunch of responses. You know, and it's fun. It's fun talking on Twitter, especially because like I'm a big horror movie fan, and a lot of my followers, of course, like horror movies. And so mm-hmm. It's like I really can talk horror movies with my fans on Twitter, which a lot of my friends, you know, aren't really that into horror movies. So it's, you know, like going on Twitter and talking horror with these fans is great. I remember, like, you know, I asked like a day ago, you know, what's your favorite 80s horror film? And I got like over 200 responses. It was awesome. And like I was like, you know, going back and forth talking about like, the best horror films with these people, and like you know they really know their shit, so it's really great. It's really rewarding, and it's a lot of fun really just connecting with them, because I feel like, you know, we're not only like have I made some actual friends through Twitter, of people that I, you know, actually hang out with and go out for drinks now. I feel, you know, some people like actually get really excited and happy about the interactions on Twitter.
So, James Cullen B on Twitter, follow him and tell him you heard him here, and yay.
And reap the benefits.
And reap the benefits. I do giveaways on Twitter, so you actually might get some benefits.
Right.
And or you might learn how to order things at Taco Bell.
If there's a monster fest or a monster movie night or something and Pernicious is playing, James might be there. Go sit next to him and hold his hand and share a popcorn.
And buy him a Hulk burrito afterwards.
Right.
Oh, yeah, the Hulk burrito.
All right, thanks a lot, James. Much appreciated.
Thank you, James.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
Radio FUBAR. Radio F***ed up beyond all recognition.